KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm Chris Fiorentino, and thanks for joining us this morning. Today, we get to talk with three fantastic ladies about a topic that's actually very near and dear to my heart, the Central California Blood Center and blood donation. So we'll dive right in. Our three guests today are Ursilia Lacaz, the Director of Marketing and Donor Recruitment for the Central California Blood Center. Ursilia is also a proud alum of Fresno State. Happy to have you on the show today.
Thank you. Happy to be here. I'm excited.
And next, we have someone from the Blood Center who I've actually worked with for many years now, Tatiana Partain. Tatiana is the marketing supervisor for the Central California Blood Center. Tatiana, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
And finally, the champion and still record holder of the most appearances on our show is Taylan Parker Bennett. Taylan is the director of special projects for the Jan and Bud Richter Center for Community Engagement and Service Learning, and we're happy that she continues to say yes to our invites and is back with us. Welcome back.
Thanks, Chris. It's great to be here.
So, Ursilia, maybe you can start us off by giving us kind of a big picture overview of the Central California Blood Center.
The Central California Blood Center has been a part of this community for many years. It's been the only community blood bank here in Central California. We cover five counties in this area, which means we provide the blood and blood products for all the hospitals in those five counties. So it's a decent geography. There's a lot of patients that rely on the work we do to get them blood and blood products once they're in the hospital and might need them.
So five counties, Fresno, Madera,
Kings, Tulare, and Mariposa.
Mariposa, okay. And I'm guessing that when you talk about five counties, you're talking about a lot of hospitals.
Yeah.
What are we looking
absolutely.
At?
Absolutely. It's close to 30. It's quite a few. Okay. It's definitely a large number of patients ultimately that are being treated that we're responsible for helping to treat with those blood products. And so it's hugely important.
And is it unusual to have an independent blood center like the Central California Blood Center? I mean, I think that in a lot of places you have Red Cross that's doing blood, but we don't have that here in our area. So.
No, yeah, we truly are the only blood products provider in Central California as of now. We hope to keep it that way, but yeah. Absolutely. In various parts of the country, it varies. There are many states and areas where there's both a community blood center, but the American Red Cross also services that area. So it depends really from a geography standpoint on what you're working with. For us, we've had the privilege of being the only community blood center here in the Central Valley. And so we really work hard to collect enough blood products to sustain that, to be able to remain the only provider of blood and blood products.
So you say blood products.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't just whole blood that you provide to the hospital.
It is not. Yes, it would be whole blood, platelets, and plasma. So your blood has three parts to it, generally speaking. Those being the red blood cell that we're all familiar with, the plasma and platelet product. So even if you come in and donate a whole blood unit, ultimately, once our lab gets it, they actually separate it and they make those different products out of it, which is why you'll hear us say that one unit of blood can actually help more than one patient, because the red blood cell could be going to one patient for a particular medical need, plasma and platelets to another based on a different medical need. So each component serves a different function. So platelets, for example, are the part of blood that helps you heal and helps your blood clot. So it's what we would see in a lot of burn victims, cancer patients, that sort of thing.
Okay. And if I understand it right, the majority of donors are in donating whole blood, but you can also go into the Central California Blood Center's main site and either donate double red blood cell donations
or platelets or plasma. Yes,
so depending on the need, donors can actually sort of target their donation a little bit.
That's absolutely right. And it's different processes. There's different time frames within each type of donation, and certainly, like I said, a different process by which the blood is collected, which can get pretty technical and medical. Yeah. But the bottom line is we certainly encourage anybody who's interested in donating in any way to come see us, visit our website, get a hold of us, and ask all those questions to figure out if you're even eligible or able. And so really go from there. And that's our hope. We really just aim to educate everyone about those different needs so that everyone understands that there's a lot of different ways to help when you're talking about blood banking, donating blood.
And the overall need. So 5 counties, 30 plus mm-hmm. hospitals,
mm-hmm.
but we're talking hundreds or even thousands of units a day that are needed in the area, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And when you consider that only about 10% of the general public population that is eligible to donate actually donates blood, it's really a very small percentage of people that come in to donate blood. So it's not an even scale, meaning any of us at any point can need the blood product, but not all of us at any point donate. So it would be great to help increase those numbers through awareness and education, because we need more donors to come out and donate regularly.
And I think that's such an important statistic that people miss and they don't understand. So number one, not everyone is eligible to donate.
Correct.
There are different medical reasons that people
absolutely.
Can't donate. Mm-hmm. FDA has different screening.
Mm-hmm.
But even for those who are eligible to donate,
mm-hmm.
only 10% do.
Absolutely.
So one out of every 10 people who can give the gift of life are actually involved in doing that. And I think that's a frightening statistic that, number one, people need to hear. But also, I want people to know that, because it's not like there are thousands and thousands of people out there donating and, oh, well, somebody else will donate. I don't have to do
that's
it.
That's exactly
no,
right.
We need your donation.
We very much do. And I think that's ultimately what makes us very proud of the work that we do, is we are essentially committed to changing that, to recruiting new donors, while, of course, encouraging our current donors to return and donate more than once. That's also another challenge that we face regularly, is a lot of people will donate just once for a special event or promotion, which is absolutely great.
Yeah.
We absolutely appreciate them. But if we could just help people understand that that need is constant, it's never ending. So if we can have people committed to coming in even just twice a year, it would be hugely helpful.
And I want to maybe dispel another rumor or belief, a couple of them actually, that it hurts and or that it's not safe in some way. Can you talk about that?
Oh, absolutely. The hurting, we certainly want to acknowledge and appreciate that there's a real fear for needles. What we tend to tell people is it does not hurt any more than an average blood draw for, let's say, a blood test that you might have to have.
Well, and your phlebotomists are so good that in many
absolutely,
cases,
when
they stick me, I barely feel it. I mean, and, literally barely feel it.
And I can honestly say we work hard to make sure of that, to make sure that the needle is out of sight, that the stick is short and sweet and fast. I've seen our phlebotomists do their absolute best to remove that fear and that hurdle, so I can comfortably say that it really does not hurt. And as far as it being safe, we are regulated by various regulating bodies, most specific to blood banking, but most importantly, we are very much regulated by the FDA. So as far as safety is concerned, if there's a hoop to jump through, we've got to jump through it. So that is probably the easiest thing to speak to. Each blood unit is tested and retested for safety for the end user, of course. But there's also processes and things we have to do on the collections end to ensure the safety of our donor. So absolutely safe.
So we talked about the need and, you know, hundreds, even thousands of units needed every day in the 5-county area. And no one else is supplying this blood. I think another big point is that blood cannot be manufactured. There is no substitute for the blood that mm-hmm. we as human beings produce.
That is correct.
And so there is no way of manufacturing or buying blood when it's not mm-hmm. available from a donor,
mm-hmm.
whether that be a donor locally or a donor outside. I think the other myth that is out there is that, well, the people who need blood are the drunk drivers who get in accidents and the gangbangers who get shot.
Yeah, absolutely not. In fact, the majority of our blood usage, I feel safe to say, goes to not only surgeries that are scheduled and expected, open heart surgery, lung transplants, any kind of transplant, but also cancer patients are a high percentage of the users of the blood products we provide. For example, a patient that has been undergoing treatment for leukemia, in many cases, absolutely relies solely on blood donated by donors to get them through those treatments and to extend their life.
Yeah.
So it's truly life-saving. Like I said, cancer patients, burn victims are users of blood products. One of the other most common uses for blood products is for women postpartum. There's often complications that lead to hemorrhaging. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
So it's truly moms that have just had a baby that are at risk for hemorrhaging for whatever reason. Those blood units are available to them. So it's much bigger picture than what you'd think.
Tatiana?
One thing, too, that I hope people realize is that here in the Valley, healthcare is expanding. We're bringing opportunities here in our Central Valley for people to receive care that in the past they've had to actually travel to areas like LA or San Francisco or Silicon Valley to actually receive care. If you look down the street from Fresno State's campus, You know, Community just opened up an entire oncology wing. We are their blood product provider. So everything that we collect is helping feed that need and that expansion in healthcare opportunities here in the Valley.
That's great.
So we are a community organization. We give back to our community, and we are very excited with all the healthcare opportunities being brought here to the Valley, and we want to support that. But in order to be a supporter of that, we need donors.
Yeah. And Tatiana, I want to talk a little bit about the donors here at Fresno State. I know Fresno State's been holding blood drives since, certainly predates us, back into the 80s, maybe even before that. But back in the mid-90s, the Blood Center in Fresno State really worked to create a much stronger partnership. And back then, the folks at the Blood Center reached out to what was then called Students for Community Service, now the Richter Center. And I remember the conversations well about, look, you've got a huge population here, and we shouldn't be having one blood drive a year, and we shouldn't just be getting 600 or 800 donors once a year. We should be doing this regularly. So I'm wondering, since Fresno has over 500,000 people in Fresno alone, and you cover a 5-county area, there is that 10% thing, only 10% who are eligible actually donate. But why the youth? Why, especially like college students, why are they important?
With Fresno State hosting blood drives, it brings that community service opportunity. It brings that opportunity for people to donate blood very conveniently by allowing them to donate here on campus. And the reason why it's so important is because we recognize that your students oftentimes are commuting from outside areas. And so they'll come here as early as 7:30 and have a packed one-day schedule that they might be able to sneak in and donate blood. So in order for that to happen, we've got to be here and readily available, especially if they're here early and they're, you know, scoring that great parking spot. They don't want to get in their car, even just to drive a mile down the street to our donor center. So by being here on campus, we're bringing the idea of donating blood to them. Also, out of sight, out of mind. So when we're here on campus, we do oftentimes hear from students, oh, I saw the blood mobile, so I'm going to go ahead and donate. Or I tried in high school and I wasn't able to donate, so I'm going to go ahead and try again. So it really is important. Also, you have a very healthy population here by young students. For the most part, many of them don't have any reason why they can't donate. They're very healthy. They're active individuals. If they're coming to campus, it's likely that they're feeling well and healthy, which is the very first question we ask when you donate blood is, are you feeling well and healthy? So it's a great opportunity for students to donate blood. So we very much appreciate the fact that we are also welcomed more than once a year now. Because like we said, if people could just donate one more time a year, I feel like I could sleep better at night, but also the nation could, because there wouldn't be a blood shortage if people just stepped up one more time a year to donate. So we come twice in the spring and twice in the fall, make it very easy by being in a central location at USU. And for this blood drive coming up this week, we're actually also going to be at Maple Mall because you have such a big campus here.
Yeah. We went to lunch the other day and we were talking about this idea that these are 18-year-olds. In some cases, they've never donated before, so they're first-time donors, because I think it's 16 years and up to donate. Mm-hmm. So if they didn't have a drive in their local community that somebody got them out to, or they didn't have one at their high school, this may be the first opportunity they have to donate and to learn about why blood donation is so important. So educating and mobilizing that new wave of young donors is hugely important, right?
Well, and we also hear from students on campus, if it is their first time donating, that they weren't allowed to donate because maybe they were involved in high school athletic football. We came during their season and they weren't allowed to donate, or they swim or play softball or baseball. So that varies. Of course, when you donate blood, we ask that you refrain from any physical activities for 24 hours because we want you to rest. We want you to recoup, treat yourself after. You deserve a treat. You just saved some lives. So
the first time I donated was senior year in high school. My coach was so mad at me that I wasn't coming to practice that day because I donated. But you know, I'm certainly glad I did. It turned me into a lifetime donor. And so I think that it's important that we give those students that opportunity. Like you say, it's time, it's location, convenience. But it is that education piece and engaging that new wave of donors.
And I really never talked to a student who's exited our vehicle after donating and was like, man, I wish I didn't do that. They really do leave with a little more pep in their step, like, I just saved some lives. This feels good.
Yeah,
I'm going to go to class feeling good now.
Yeah. Taylan, you've worked with these students and done a lot of these drives over the last few years. Maybe you can talk a little bit about not only where you work at Fresno State and what your involvement in this partnership is, but why this is an important part of the community engagement service learning efforts of the university.
I have the privilege to work in the Jan and Bud Richter Center for Community Engagement and Service Learning as the Special Projects Coordinator. And so part of my role is partnering with the Blood Center and working with their staff to host the on-campus blood drive. So I serve as the campus liaison, reserving rooms and making reservations and also promoting the drives to our students. And so it's a privilege to have them on campus. It takes a lot of coordination and work and effort, but ultimately we're saving lives and we're bringing it, like Tatiana said, to the students to make it convenient for them. And it does. It provides a sense of community. It allows students the opportunity to volunteer. It just takes an hour, but it's an easy way to get them involved and make a difference in the Valley.
Tatiana mentioned the two drives in the fall, two drives in the spring. They're each 3 days, right?
Yes, correct.
So basically a total of 12 days worth of drives on campus. And I'm curious, what is the response from students like?
So we have students who come out faithfully every drive and donate their 4 years or 2 years if they're transfer students here on campus, and we greatly appreciate it. However, last year we had about 1,400 donors, which sounds like a large number, but when you consider we have 24,000 plus students on campus,
and,
not including
and 3,000 faculty and staff. Yeah,
correct. That's really a small percentage. And so I think just kind of like Arcelia and Tatiana talked about, is educating our students on the need and the importance that blood cannot be manufactured, that they are the one that can be saving lives and we need them to respond. And so we're diligently pursuing the education component to blood donation.
Yeah. So we've talked a lot, Arcelia, obviously amongst the four of us already, about this issue of the declining number of students who donate. So 1,400 last year is a good number. It's actually up a little bit from the year before. But if you look at our historic numbers during the course of a year, it might be 2,000 or more donors.
Correct.
Over the course of a year. And so those numbers have dropped off over the last 5 to 10 years. I'm curious, why are those numbers down, not only on our campus, but as I understand it, across the country in terms of donations?
That's exactly right. It's actually a nationwide trend, which is somewhat alarming.
Frightening, yeah.
There's a few reasons that have been tossed around in the industry for why that might be. Among peers and blood banking, there's been some discussions that initially the need for blood has decreased some because of the higher efficiency of how procedures are done. If you think about laparoscopic surgeries, and some of those improvements have made it to where there's a lesser need for some of the blood products, which I think made blood bankers as a whole take their foot off the gas just a little, which I think we were paying the price for now. I think blood banking, I believe Tatiana was the one that mentioned it, donating blood in general is a classic out of sight, out of mind. I think if you're not received blood products or a loved one has not received blood products, you're not really thinking about it. You're, not, you're sort of assuming that the blood is going to be there at the hospital whenever it would be needed. So I think that as a country and as a community, we've lost sight of the importance of donating blood. And I think that's what needs to happen next, is we need to really kick it up a notch and re-educate the public about the importance of coming out to donate. And that's one of the theories as to why it's gone backwards a little bit.
And I know the FDA regulations have tightened up on some things like the iron levels and the Zika
that
virus
certainly
issue
plays a role.
And
absolutely.
Things. And there is still that fear for some people about blood transmitted diseases. But I think, as you said, it really is a very, very safe situation. I'm wondering, I know there is a big effort underway at Fresno State to try and ratchet those numbers back up to the historic highs or even higher. Can you talk a little bit about that and what's happening on Fresno State right now?
I think the most important aspect of us being on campus is not just the drives themselves, the opportunity to really partner with the university, to be a community supporter and partner of the Central California Blood Center, because what that allows us to do is to bring that awareness that we keep talking about, that education. If our own university is engaged in helping us get that message carried out, it is hugely important above and beyond the immediate need for the actual blood unit. Because keep in mind, going back to the student, if we can get them to understand the importance now, if we can get them in a habit of donating, that is how you create lifelong donors like yourself. And that's hugely important. That's not an impact that's just today. That's an impact for a lifetime.
Yeah.
And so we absolutely rely and appreciate the partnership of Fresno State for those very reasons.
Taylan, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about the administration's effort to get behind this and promote the drives.
We have been super appreciative of the president and of the VPs recently here in the last year who have really rallied behind blood donation, and especially here on campus. They see the need and they are doing what they can to assist us in promoting this on campus. They're providing resources to us. And so we definitely are appreciative of their help and support in getting the word out.
What kinds of ways do you use to get the word out on campus?
We use your traditional flyers and handbills and posters so students have a visual on campus when they're walking to their classes. But we also send things out via Bulldog blog, on the campus website. We do campus mailers to all faculty and staff, and then social media.
In addition to recruiting folks to donate blood at this upcoming drive and at other drives, you also are registering people for the National Marrow Donor Registry. And in this drive in particular, we're going to be pushing registering people to become organ donors as well. So maybe you can talk a little about those efforts.
We have a Be the Match chapter here on campus that's student-led, and they register people for the bone marrow registry. And so it's a simple cheek swab, and your name goes on the registry, and if they find a match, they contact you, and you have the opportunity to save a life. Why that's so important, though, is because every 3 minutes, someone in the United States is diagnosed with a blood cancer, and a lot of times their only chance at survival is a bone marrow transplant. And so when they receive that, you are the only one that can provide that for them.
Yeah, that match
really
is
really hard,
very tight.
To find a match.
Yeah.
And that match is based on not only your type of blood and your ethnicity, but there's a lot of different requirements for it. And so if you're called to be a donor or that you're told you're a match, it's a very, very big deal.
Yeah, we actually had one student, I think a year or two ago, who got
yes.
on the National Marrow Registry during one of the campus drives, was contacted very shortly thereafter and was a match for someone that they had been unable to find a match for nationwide for quite a while.
Correct.
And because of that Fresno State student donor, that person had a life-saving treatment that they would not otherwise have been able to get.
Correct. It's truly an honor if you're called and able to be a match because, like I said, you're the one person that can save that life. And this drive, we are also doing an organ registry. And so people can get on the organ donor registry, and that is very simple. You just sign up. So some of you can check and see if you're an organ donor. It's a little red dot on your driver's license. But that's really important because over 20,000 people in California alone are awaiting an organ transplant.
And organ donation is very much tied to this particular drive because we're honoring a very special person from Fresno State. Maybe you can talk about that honoree for this drive.
Definitely. So this drive, we have the privilege of honoring Chief David Huerta, who is the Fresno State Chief of Police on campus. And he recently received a double lung transplant. So we have the chance to honor him. I've been working with his daughter, Kerrigan. And so this drive will be a blood drive and organ registry in his honor.
And Chief Huerta, if you're listening, shout outs of love and support from Fresno State.
Yep.
And we're very happy that we can honor you in this way and really show that, look, this can happen to anybody. You know, just suddenly over the summer, he had a critical need for a lung transplant. Thank goodness was able to find a donor who had said that they would donate their lungs when they passed. But during that process, he needed 6 units of blood. If some donor had not said that they would donate their organs or someone had not donated blood, the chief would not be here right now.
Correct. It's definitely puts things into perspective when it's one of your own. And so we have a chance to not only honor Chief Huerta, but also educate our students and our community about the importance of getting on the organ donor registry and donating blood.
So the dates for those drives?
Yes, the drive is happening this week. We're going to kick it off Tuesday in the residence dining hall from 3 to 7:30 p.m. And we're inviting all local law enforcement to come out and support the chief as well as the Fresno State community. And then we will resume on Wednesday and Thursday on campus in the USU and in Maple Mall from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m.
And so folks can come out and donate at any time during those drives. And we would love to have 1,000+ donors during this drive. And that would be just great. And if somebody wants to get more information about how they can donate at any of the blood centers around the valley, how can they do that?
I would encourage them to head to our website, donateblood.org. We are on Facebook as well, so you can find information on there. You can find us at CENCA Blood Center. That's probably the best way for people. And then if you can't find your answers on there, please give us a call. It's very easy. You'll get through. We'll get you straight off to somebody who can get you those answers. And that phone number is 559-389-LIFE.
And we'll post links to the Blood Center's website, Facebook, and put that phone number on our Facebook site at FS Service in Action. So you can get that information that way too. Or Google works great, right? Central California Blood Center.
Correct. And just so people know, it is very easy. You just need to weigh a minimum of 110 pounds. I know we have sometimes here on campus, we have students that are younger than the age of 18. On our website, you can find the parental consent form. Please have that filled out prior to coming. You need to present a photo ID. Your campus ID works just fine, as does a driver's license. Make sure you eat. Although it may seem similar to those blood tests that you might get from your doctor's office, but those oftentimes you fast, we encourage you to eat. We believe in that. So please do that about 2 hours prior to donating and make sure you drink a lot of water. Hydration is essential for both preparation and post-donation.
So Tatiana, you know me. You've been scheduling me for platelet donations for years and reminding me and being gracious to me when I'm constantly rescheduling, but I'm sold. I think a lot of people out there are sold, but for maybe somebody who's still a little skeptical, any last minute thoughts about why folks should donate?
Again, please keep in mind that blood cannot be manufactured. There are so many patients in the hospital that are so thankful to those donors who just came out because they felt compelled to do so or because we presented an opportunity by being at their place of business, worship, or where they go to school. And their lives are saved today, and they're able to spend another moment with their family members. They're able to give back to our communities because of that gift of life being donated. So it's really important that people do remember that. Also take into consideration that every 2 seconds, somebody in the United States is in need of a blood or blood product.
Every two seconds.
So there is something going on, like we spoke about earlier. It's beyond the tragedies. It's beyond the traumas. It's those who are going in for a simple surgery that can't even begin without blood products being available for the what if. Unfortunately, cancer has hit close to home for many of us. The statistics are way high. And a lot of those cancer patients, depending on where they are during their treatment and what type of treatment they're receiving, require blood and blood products so then they can have another Christmas with their family, another birthday to celebrate. We've met quite a few patients at the Central California Blood Center who've brought their stories to us and families that are just so thankful that maybe when their child was of young age, unfortunately got diagnosed with cancer and is now a thriving teenager or going on to college. I mean, we have one here on campus who is starting. She's a brand new Bulldog and she is here today because blood donors said yes.
Yeah. I've said to people before, there is nothing that you could do with an hour of your time that will directly save not only one life, but potentially three. You would have to, you know, walk out and give someone CPR to have as direct an impact on helping to save someone's life as donating blood. And so I really encourage everyone listening to please contact the blood center. If you have donated before, go donate again. Every 8 weeks, you can donate whole blood. Every 2 weeks, you can donate platelets. Get out there and donate. Come to the campus drive, especially if you're a Fresno State student or if you're part of law enforcement, but anyone is welcome to come and give that gift of life by donating blood, something very unique and very special about it. So I want to thank our guests today, Ursilia Lacaz, Tatiana Partain, and Taylan Parker Bennett. We really appreciate all of your work in the community as well as for being here today. And for our listeners, thank you for being here. Please join us again next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for another Fresno State Service in Action program on KFSR. Also, I mentioned that Facebook site. Don't forget to go on, check us out. All the links, tell us what you think about the show. Tell us your blood donation or your blood recipient story. We'd love to hear that at FS Service in Action. We're going to post lots of good information related to this project and this drive at that site, so you can check it all out. We are on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at kfsr.org. Thanks and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.